What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that intersect, confront, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. This edition of 411 Teen explores moral reasoning, ethical behavior. What is the basis for ethical behavior? How do we define morals? Are there any situations where going against the grain, doing your own thing, is acceptable? What's right and wrong? Is it all relative? Joining me are students from Sale High School, and I welcome them. I'm always glad to have them. And I welcome Sona Weird. She's in the 11th grade, and she's into reading and volunteering, and she's been on the program before, and I'm always glad to have you.
Hey, guys.
Matias Herrera. He is a senior at Sale and interested in psychology.
Yeah.
Okay. Reed Worrell. Reed is in the 10th grade. Reading, books, that's his thing.
Read more books.
When your name's Reed.
Destiny Scriven. Destiny is in the 11th grade. Art and religion.
Hello, glad to be here.
Sydney Selman. Sydney is a senior, and we're always glad to have her. And she doesn't have her brother with her today.
I didn't have a brother.
Okay. Sayo. SGA, reading, and music.
Hi, my interests are taking bubble baths and petting other people's dogs.
Oh, okay. Emily Simeon. Emily is in the 9th grade, and her interests are human relations, club, cheerleading, animals, reading, singing, and dancing. I get that right?
Okay.
Glad to have you.
I'm glad to be here.
As we talk about ethics and moral reasoning, what was it about this topic that made you interested and say you wanted to participate? You know, because you have ongoing topics. What was it that kind of caught your opinion? Go right ahead, Matej.
Okay, I didn't want to interrupt.
Yeah. No, feel free.
I feel like there's a lot of... There's just a lot of rules, a lot of social rules particularly. Written in stone, it's very word of mouth, or even sometimes even more discreet than that, like very low key. And I just go against them all the time. Like, I just being myself, being open about myself, right, my hair and my clothes, and you know, everything about my every facet of my personality is kind of like a political statement in the fact that I don't conform to a lot of those rules. So I like to talk about it.
I'm good. Well, that's what we're going to do. I'd like to hear from all of you.
Okay.
What was the impetus that made you want to participate?
So for me, it just felt like there was definitely a lot of area for discussion for this. Like, there's, and this is a very big topic, and there's a lot to say about this, I think. And it's just a lot of people, for some people it's defined when it's something like religion, but sometimes it's just something that you feel in yourself, like what's right or wrong. And it just sounds really interesting to, yeah.
Okay. Destiny.
I've been told that I have a lot of different views on things, and I often, like, ever since I was younger, I always went back and forth in my mind about what is acceptable and what is not. And I have, you know, different religious views than most people, and I try to incorporate the morals of society, but not necessarily. I like that. I like to make sure that I'm doing good things, but I also like to make sure that I don't do the things that I'm not okay with. And I like talking about morals because I like getting more insight, and I like opening my mind to different possibilities and what I can do with myself.
Sounds good.
I came here because I feel like during high school, it's like you're at that age where you're really like you're understanding what your morals are and you're becoming mm-hmm. who you're gonna be, and like you're figuring out the things you stand for and what you believe in and like how you feel about certain things, and you're finally seeing like what's so wrong in the world and like the these morals that we're supposed to like follow, they might not be so good for you. And I think everyone should set their own morals. I mean, I think there's a basic thing of, like, respect for everyone. And then other than that, I think it's for you to decide, and you should just set, I mean, it's your life, set your own morals, and, yeah.
Well, you all have touched on some key words. What about you, Sydney? Where are you?
I'm kind of with Sona. You know, everybody has their different thing going on, and, mm-hmm. you know, we're all 14 to 18 in this room,
exactly.
and we're all in high school, and we all kind of, like, are understanding who it is we are, and you brought up the point, like, does your morals change from 5 years ago? And I think, yeah, they definitely have, and we can talk about that later. And they, you know, I get told a lot by, like, my mom that, you know, my mom's very conservative, not super conservative, but she's definitely not me. And I am very, I won't go as far as saying, like, I'm liberal, as more liberal than she is, but it's true. It's, I think everybody has a different opinion on things, and they always change all the time. And it's like what Reed said, it's relative to what you do and who you are and how you've been raised. And if you, you know, you have that like deep down in you that your self-conscious is telling you this is wrong or this is right, or maybe it doesn't even matter. So that's mm-hmm. what I'm here. I feel like this conversation can have a lot of meaning to it.
And Emily?
Well, I would see as my morals would be that how I've been taught is to respect everybody no matter what color, gender, what anything. As long as I see my morals as treating everybody with respect, you have to treat me with respect. And I came here to like show my opinion because I believe that everybody should respect each other, but mm-hmm. not.
I'm looking forward to talking with you. And all of you have touched on morals, so we can start on morals. But with morals, what are we talking about? How do you define morals? I mean, basically, we're talking about the concepts of right and wrong, acceptable versus unacceptable. We're kind of qualifying human behavior, human characteristics. Would you agree with that? Because we're putting mm-hmm. some kind of judgment call on them, okay?
Yeah.
And when we do that, I mean, how do we define what is good and what's bad? Because what you think is good, I might not think is good. You know what I mean, Sona? So where do we go from there? I mean, how do these concepts evolve?
I think that morals, yeah, it's like what's right and wrong. I think mm-hmm. everybody should have a mutual like respect for each other and acceptance. Then beyond that, I think it's yours to decide. I'm reading Tina Fey's autobiography right now, and she had like this great quote in it about like if somebody is like, I don't know, somebody has a different opinion than yours, like, and you just completely disagree, but if they're not getting in your way at all, and if they're not like preventing you from doing what you're trying to do, then why bother, you know? They have their beliefs, you have yours. You could talk about it, but, I mean, you have your own beliefs, and you can't change that. Like, you can't change anybody's opinions. So, I mean, if it's not affecting you in a harmful way and it's not stopping you from doing what you need to do.
But what if it's not affecting you, but it's affecting another group?
Uh-huh.
Or
yes.
It's affecting somebody else?
I think, yeah.
So where do we draw the line? You see what
I mean? If it is affecting somebody else, I think, then you should take the time to talk about it and try to get the person to see how it is affecting them.
Reed.
Oh, I just wanted to say really quick, I love Tina Fey. But also, maybe just like the basis of like Sona and Emily both said, you know, respect each other. You want to be respected how you're respected. You know, do unto others what you would like to be done to you. And I don't know, maybe that's just the basis, but we all need to treat each other fairly, nicely, equally.
But see, all those terms are...
Yeah, they are really relative.
Exactly.
And it starts getting complicated once you put
you
it
You know, so how do, mm-hmm. How do we define what fairly and equally, and we'll come back to that. Mm-hmm. I expect you to respond to that right this minute. You know, but getting into the whole concept of good and bad. I mean...
One thing that I always thought, or I still do think, like I always really try to be a good person, but then, you know, the thought, you know, what is a good person?
That's my next
question. How good do you have to be considered a good person? And I just, it's just crazy to me. Because, I mean, there are so many things that I do and so many things that other people do. And especially being at Sale High School, it's a great high school. And part of its greatness is that so many people have different opinions.
It's diverse that I've heard.
And this is my first year. I'm a junior, but it is my first year. Mm-hmm. And coming here and just, you know, listening to people talk and, like, all of their different ideas, they make a lot of sense, but there's so many strong opinions. And it's so hard to just, you know, find a good center because everybody's center is completely different. Or even not completely, it's just different. Mm-hmm. And I think that there needs to be a kind of center. I totally believe in personal freedom, but I believe in freedom with regulations.
Or what I hear you saying is maybe there need to be core values everyone kind of tunes into. I mean, is that what I'm hearing from you, Emily?
Matthias and I are taking sociology this semester with the lovely Rebecca Redman. Mm-hmm. And one thing, you know, I was going to touch on what Destiny said about even though people have, like, similar opinions and they, like, vary and they differ in some sort of way, we talked about in sociology that, like, if you are part of a movement, you all have a common goal together, even though, like, you may have different ways to go about it. You're all like, okay, well, you know what we're going to do today? We're going to make sure, you know, that women and men get paid equally, and that's our goal. And we all might go about it differently, but as long as we get to that result, it's fine. And, like, morals, that's when, like, morals become questionable, because you have some people who are martyrs and they're, like, willing to, like, you know, die for what they believe in. And some people might think, you know what, that's a little bit ridiculous. And then other people might think, no, you know, that's completely sane. Like, the thing I was thinking about with, like, different morals, which is drastically different, is, like, if you okay, don't laugh at me, but if you had, like, a village of cannibals, they would think that it was morally sound to eat people. And if you, of course, come from a place like America and many other parts of the world where cannibalism is illegal, you would have thought, yeah, I know, you know, you shouldn't kill people because that's bad. I can't explain why that's bad, but you're infringing on another person's rights, and that is what's bad.
Well, that leads right into my next question, which I was going to ask you. What role does our environment play in the development of our morals and the development of our ethical behavior? I'll ask you to hold your thoughts for a moment because we're going to take a break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and I'm talking with students from Sale High School. We're exploring the concepts of morals and ethical behavior. We're going to take a brief break. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and I have students from Sale High School, and they are really giving us a real heavy thought about some of these things as far as ethics and morals are concerned. Did you want to continue?
Oh, no, I was done.
Okay. Yes, go right ahead.
I think as a social entity that you are defined by society in a very large way. Mm-hmm. You are representative of your community. However broad or narrow you put that stream on, you are representative of that community. And so when, as I said earlier in my kind of introduction, whatever I do, I feel as it is some kind of political statement, just being outside of the box. But as you infringe, or not necessarily infringe, but as you start to explore who you are as a person, or what you truly believe in, and your friends also, since, you know, we're all growing up right now, mm-hmm. and everybody's kind of susceptible to different views and whatnot, and kind of believing in different things, as you begin to view something that is counter to what, say, your friend would, you witness a sort of gap in social standing, and you tend to grow apart from other people because, say, like when I was, I think maybe around 9th or 10th grade is when I started wearing I started doing makeup. Mm-hmm. I started doing makeup on myself. And I wasn't really dressing feminine. I was dressing more masculine as a boy, but I was painting my face, and it was my way of expressing myself, putting my soul on the outside. At that point, it was in 9th grade, so I had an entirely new a cornucopia of people that I was not necessarily impressing, but they had no impression of me. Mm-hmm. So who I was
defined by
whatever I was doing at mm-hmm. that point. And of course, I've grown and evolved, but at that point, that entire group of people that I've now come to know as my friends and my family at Sail, they had no idea who I was. And so my morals, when you go into an environment like that where you're completely changing who you are as a person, where you're reinventing yourself, or where you have the ability to, then it's a serious moral question in that way. Who are you? Who do you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And I went. I think I really found myself. I think I really found myself, and I think that morally, I can't really be defined.
Okay. All right. Did you have your hand up?
Yeah. Matthias and I have been very close friends the past 4 years, and I always use him as an example for people who develop themselves over years and be able to like come out like this is who I am, this is what I want to be. So I just wanted to address, you had talked about the makeup, but if you feel comfortable with it, will you tell people what you're wearing right now
I'm wearing a dress that has a fairly high slit. I don't even know if that's like I shouldn't go to high school in this, but I'm not sure, but people have told me that this is a bathrobe.
Oh.
And I didn't know that. I just bought it and I started wearing it because I was like, I think this is cool. Yeah, uh-huh. That's nice. And a high neck black velvet. I'm wearing a lot of black velvet and belts. And I, you know, I'm a biological male, and rings that I made. But you know, it's I think all of this I bought myself with my own money, and it was my way of kind of expressing who I am on the outside. I still feel like I am male.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel like I am male. But even to that extent, what is male, what is female, gender queer, whatever you really want to call it, I can't be defined. And some people would take that as a moral stance. Some people would say that morally I am wrong. I'm depraved. But I embrace it. I think it's cool.
Go ahead.
My mom works at a church, and one time I took Matthias dressed like this to the church, and nobody like questioned him at all. Nobody tried to save Matthias. They're all like, he's too far gone.
I'm wearing a dress.
But,
I can't go back.
How do people respond to you?
Well, oh, sorry. You go.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
That very same day was the day before Halloween. Matthias and I went to go get heels. We needed heels for our costume, and like everybody was seriously okay with it. The males that worked there, the females, everybody was like, yeah, man, let me talk to you about these heels. There was this one girl that's like, I know, I have really wide feet too, so I have to like get like a 9.
We were in the 13th section, yeah. So it was getting up in shoe size because, you know, I am biological male. I got big feet.
Yeah.
So it's something, you know. But I think also within that is my own personal meanness. It is my entity. I have a very, very strong personality, and I assert whatever I am. People don't really know what I am. Most people don't ask what I am or what I define myself as until it's like a fairly long time into the friendship, because I am me. Nobody ever really questions it, and I just kind of express myself as myself. Okay. And
what about the rest of you? For as far as you think about moral development, okay, and your moral code and your moral stance on something, how does your environment influence you? And I'll just start with you and go
ahead. I think our environment influences us 100%. Not as though we go with whatever's around us. It also teaches us what we don't believe in. And we see something and, you know, and then, like, that's when we really start to question things, like, because you always listen to your parents when you're younger and what they say, like, you kind of have the same morals as them. But then you get older and, like, you start having different beliefs and you're like, what? Is this right or is it wrong? But it's like everybody has their own beliefs and your environment is, I mean, you, yes, but like how your environment is around you, like that is what makes you you, and like that's how you develop all your thoughts and like being exposed to everything, just like learning things and being around other people and finding things that you have in common and things you like about them. And that's how like we all make each other and like make ourselves, I mean. And I mean, yeah, and I think environment has so much to do with it.
Yeah, to go along with that, yeah, your environment, I definitely 100% impacts you how you are. Mm-hmm. And then it's okay to keep going along with that, but I think at some point you don't want to blindly follow that, like, environment, this kind of place you've been thrown into blindly along. You don't want to just keep following that. You want to go see what other people are talking about, see what that's about, keep, and you don't have to agree with them, but see what they're talking about, see it in their shoes, get the different side, and then if you don't like that, go back and maybe not even necessarily go back to what you grew up in, but like take some of both and make your own moral standards. Go out and live what's right for you.
Now, Destiny, where do you sit in all of this? As we look at this moral development, we're talking about our environment. What do you think has had the most influence? Okay.
On me, I think I've been influenced greatly by my peers.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
I kind of think of, you know, peers as like a market where everybody comes in and they all have their own things to sell you, and you just go over and try a little bit. If you don't like it, you just say thank you politely, you know, put it away, and you know, taste the things that you do like, and you just get pickings from this. I've said this before a few times, but I really, really appreciate how my generation has evolved. I think that we expanded our minds and our thought process so much. I think that we're so open to different things. And that
indeed
was something that I was really inspired by, just seeing every side. I was raised Christian, and from then I was Buddhist, I was Hindu, I was Baha'i, I was pretty much everything. And I basically just said, you know, I don't want to define myself. I want to love everything, and I want to love everyone, and I don't think that I don't need a set name or a set principle. I just like tasting everything. I just like being a part of everything. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much me.
Sydney.
Like Destiny, I was raised in a Christian family too, but my family, again, was never like a radical Christian family. We didn't go to church every Sunday. We kind of took it one by one ourselves, and that's the way we did it. I don't think, you know, they talk about going to church doesn't make you any more than a Christian, than standing in a garage makes you a car, and it's definitely exactly like that. You can just you do what you do, and you know, I was set by those Christian morals, and like it drove me apart in middle school because I was like, wow, I just can't feel this. I'm upset. I mean, I would like,
when you say drove you apart from what? You didn't.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah, I'll explain.
Drove you apart from friends, family, whatever.
No. I mean, like, spiritually, I didn't feel okay as identifying as a Christian. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but I'm like, I'm with Destiny. I don't feel like you can clearly define yourself as 100% anything. I feel like that's very short-sighted. There's so much out there, and labels are just so hard. You know, Matthias talked about, you know, being genderqueer and how sometimes it's hard to label yourselves as that, and people don't ask, and if you're confident enough, nobody's going to ask at all. And, like, now I'm at myself where I'm at the point in my life where I am just me, and I won't take anything from anyone. It's do no harm, you know, but I'm still just me. I'm there, I am here, and I feel okay with that. Before, I was always very, like, upset that I didn't quite get to share my beliefs, and I was, you know, there's so many people that have different opinions, which is great, which is fine, and but mm-hmm. it was mostly coming from a toxic environment that I didn't feel as if I could quite express myself. And if, like, a lot of people are closeted, and I don't mean in, like, sexuality, I mean, like, in general, people, if they're not in an accepting environment, like Sale or like Sona and I grew up,
they don't share their real
didn't get to talk about it. Mm-hmm. you can't be, like, forced to do something, because you become you hate that thing eventually. You don't want to do that thing anymore.
Emily.
I believe my morals in my environment have been strictly changed, because I went to a school, when I got here to Leon County, my school wasn't very accepting of everyone. I felt not accepting, and I do have differences. I do have ADHD that sometimes it makes me hyper and very, very talkative, and people don't understand that. And I always had my morals was to be open about myself, show my religion, talk about my religion, be open with everything about me. But I felt like at my old school, I couldn't be open about me. I had to be closed in, like, behind a brick wall, because I couldn't express myself. But when I got here, I feel like I can start being myself. I don't have to have a brick wall anymore. It feels like I could be more happier.
Oh, that's great. I'm going to start with Sona because she had said, and then I'll come to
Destiny and Sydney were talking about labels earlier, and I, I feel like, because we're so many different parts of, like, different things, and but I don't feel like some people think you can only define yourself, like, or be, like, one religion, right? Like, you can only be Christian. But I don't see that. Like, I like labels. And human brains, we put things in categories. We find patterns. We find similarities. True. And I love to do it. I put labels on myself. You know, like, I'm a feminist, you know, but I can top them. Like, I can put more and more and more. It's like, I don't feel like I'm limited to one label, you know? And some people don't feel like they belong to any like, certain category. And, you know, that's fine, too. They're whoever they want to be. But I like to have certain labels because, I mean, it's one of my beliefs, you know? Like, and that's an easy way to, like, share with somebody that you have this similar belief, you know? And I don't know. I like categorizing things, and I like the similarities, and I like putting specific words for it. And I understand that some people don't like to do that, but I don't think you should ever limit yourself to one. And, like, I think you can be as many religions as you want. And some people would completely disagree with that, like, maybe strong Christians and whatever, but be whoever you want to be, and if you want to put labels on it, do it. If you don't, you know?
Breathe.
Oh, I wanted to go back to what Sydney said about being in an environment or a place where you can't talk about it. I definitely feel like it's starting to get dangerous, or it's not, well, bad when you're in an environment where you can't talk about ethicality, what is right and wrong, because sometimes you'll just be set somewhere and this is right, this is wrong, and there's no in between. But you need to go out, you need to talk to people and just explore that, and group discussions, that's always a good thing. I love this right now.
When we start looking at right and wrong, how do we define it? Because that's what happened with that terror attack in France. It was about what is right and what is wrong. How do we respond to what's right and wrong? And who has the right to impose their feelings, their position on you? I mean, and is speech, do we really have freedom of speech? It seems like we have freedom of speech as long as you don't say too much, okay? Because that's when it starts. And I'll just go around the table because you all seem like you're eager to respond.
Yeah, I mean, like, with the whole France thing, I mean, yeah, like, you can have your separate opinions, but going that far, I think you should go as far as to explain your opinion and explain why you feel this way and try to get them to see your way. Like, sharing, that's what's important, but, like, just being like, you're wrong, I'm gonna go be very violent towards you, that is not the answer. I mean, you need to talk about it. Like, communication is key. But once you, like, realize somebody doesn't share your beliefs, let it go. Like, are they really stopping? Like,
do they have to pay with their lives?
What was really happening that, like, I mean, it offended them, sure, but was it honestly causing them any harm that they had to go and, like, try to murder, like, go...
Not yeah, try to.
Go murder people, yes, go... And, I mean, I just don't think that is ever the answer. And, I mean, nobody is going to always share, like, nobody's going to share all of your beliefs. No one is 100% going to believe the same things ever, and you just need to let that go and accept that. We do not have the same beliefs.
I think that when you get into a situation where you are persecuting, well, you're not necessarily, I'm not entirely privy to all of the facets mm-hmm. of the argument, but what, from my understanding, Charlie Hebdo, the French, is it a magazine? Or, mm-hmm. They have a frequent comic that parodies the Messiah mm-hmm. of Islam religion, and so somebody got upset to the point where they went and they kamikaze.
They just went in and shot him up.
Shot him up. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well. Then, I hope most of you understand what happened afterwards. There was a revolt, or not necessarily a revolt, but an uprising. Mm-hmm. Many, many, many European countries now are on a almost, and I'm trying not to be biased towards it, but almost a warpath to institute new anti-immigration laws, which in actuality are anti-Muslim laws. They don't want them in the country. There have been many, many copious quotes saying, excuse my French, but keep the dirty Jews out of here. Mm-hmm. We don't want them, filthy pigs. And I think that, of course, what the shooter did, that was completely unacceptable. I don't think that violence solves anything. Sometimes talking doesn't really solve that much either, mm-hmm. but there is a healthy way to get your points across. That was not it. But when you persecute an entire religion for the acts of one person, and when you have multiple countries with multiple world leaders leading a march.
I was just getting ready to say, we only have a few seconds.
Sorry.
But we appreciate what you're saying. Yeah. To my listening audience, I have students from Sale, and I always want to say thank you all for coming. I appreciate it. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and this is a dynamic discussion. Again, I say thanks to my students from Sale. We're looking at ethics. We're looking at morals. And one thing I think, Destiny, I think you brought it up, and we didn't really explore it enough. We started touching on it, is what role does religion play, religiosity play, in the development of your moral code? Okay. Go right ahead.
Okay, so yeah, I wanted to weigh in on religion. So we were just talking about the shooting in France with the Muslim and everything. And so I don't even remember where I was going. But for a lot of people, or maybe it sounds like for some people, that a lot of people hate religion or they're going against it. And religion is like a double-edged sword, and it can be a good or a bad thing. For some people, it can be a good thing because you can be set with guidelines of, you know, how to go about your life and
standards,
treat things.
Standards.
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes if you don't grow up without any standards or anything, you could be kind of lost. And maybe just religion's a good starting point for you to go out from there and just explore. But yeah, maybe it can be good and bad.
Mm-hmm. Other comments? Yes, ma'am. Destiny.
Personally, I love religion. I think all religions are beautiful. I think they're so artistic, and I just love them. I love talking about them. My dad is a philosophy professor, and I grew up with a lot of, you know, different views because my dad is outside the box. He has different views. And one thing he used to say, he still says it, is that religion is the organization of the masses.
Yes.
So it's supposed to control the masses.
Mm-hmm.
And I really agree with that. I agree with whatever religion, like Reed said, there are a whole bunch of different standards.
Right.
But also with religion, it limits and it narrows the viewpoints, supposedly for good it's supposed to be a good thing, but at some point it becomes destructive. And I totally support every religion possible. But I do think that the belief that is not your own is okay. I think that love rules my life. Love, I think.
Well, see, but just for me to interject something there. Love could rule your life, but love also rules my life. That's and true. My love, I mean, I'm just, you know, taking the other position.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I have a love for my religion. So when you offend my religion, that takes it to a different level.
For me, though.
I mean, this is what I'm not right, hearing right, right. you saying, but, you
just,
know.
You yeah, know, yeah, yeah. Devil's advocate, yeah. For me, though, my love, personally, mm-hmm. my love says, I love you, too. So whatever stance that you may take, I love that because I love you. And but there may be if you say I love my religion
and I don't want to take any offense
and I don't
want you to
right and I you're in my thing I don't agree with this, you know, I like murdering people, what are you gonna object? You're gonna still love me because I like murdering people?
But see, they don't see it as murdering people.
There's in the support, name of what I...
You know, but of course we've done so much in the name of religion.
Right.
But you see where I'm coming from.
It's so tricky.
Uh-huh. So much in that name. Let me go on around and see if anybody else has some comments, and then I'll come back to you all.
But, I think morality at its core becomes unsound, as I mentioned earlier, when mm-hmm. you begin to infringe upon another person's rights. And I think, you know, I mentioned earlier from what Destiny said about murdering people just because, you know, that's the way I believe things are. I mentioned about the cannibalism, you know, mm-hmm. like from one perspective, this is right. And from another perspective, it's wrong. And you mentioned earlier, like, how do you tell the difference between right and wrong? And I think your original question was something to the means of, like, how is morality formed? And I think it's what, mm-hmm. you know, what Reed was going back to, religion and mm-hmm. the way you were raised determines, okay. like, what you believe is right and wrong. And it's always like that. Whoever raised you will think that if you were born from a very open-minded family, you will be able to have open-minded
opinions.
But
at some point, and you all have all talked about this, you have to separate from whether it's your religion or how you were raised. And you have to come up with your own idea of standards and take your own position on right, wrong, good, bad. I mean, so even though how you were raised and your family and your milieu play into that, when do you decide, as it evolves, you know, when do you decide where I'm at? Let me get to Emily because I haven't heard from her.
I see, mostly on my beliefs between morals and when I'm my religion. I'm a Southern Baptist, so my morals are different between a regular Baptist and a more Southern. And, like, me and my aunt's Southern Lutheran, so our morals are different because she believes that everybody should go to church every Sunday. Well, I believe you should go to church, but, you know, I believe if I believe in God and I praise Him and I'm saved, that, you know, you're not preaching to the devil. And, well, and a lot of people... Like, when I go to church, there is a lot of politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that my morals at church, the politics shouldn't bring into religion. Okay.
Let me throw this question out here for you. You know, as you think about morals and we talk about right and wrong and good and bad, at what point do you think you become responsible for your behavior? And I tell you where I'm going with it, even before you answer. When do we judge adolescents as adults? Mm-hmm. Okay? I mean, that's where I'm coming from. Okay, throwing it out there. Yes, Reed.
Okay, so So yeah, for the you start getting judged as an adult when you turn 18 or 21, maybe, yeah,
depending on what.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But even then, some people I've heard Sona say before that you're not even fully developed
until
25. Right. And so it starts getting really tricky to judge people. But as a teenager, I've never wanted to rob a store or kill somebody.
Think about those who do.
Yeah,
let's empathize and put ourselves in that place, okay?
You just have to wonder. And then,
when do we start holding them responsible?
Because
sometimes
really
kids
tricky.
Will do things and they will be adjudicated as an adult. And I'm just asking you all, who are young folks, at what point do you think that should occur? Yes, ma'am.
There is no set point. I think you need to talk to somebody and, like...
But you gotta have a set point.
No, there is no set point. People mature differently.
But in a society, you gotta have... But
no set point. People mature differently. We're all different ages. We are all incredibly mature.
But in the instances of, like, you know, kids, teenagers, young adults... getting caught doing things like robbing convenience stores.
What if they were robbing that convenience store to get diapers for their baby?
Yeah,
you
okay.
Their life, you know?
So
it's like, is that wrong? And it's like, I mean, I think that, I don't know, I think most people that are going to rob a store, I think they're quite aware of what they're doing. And I think you're robbing a store. You know it's got to be wrong in some ways. If you have a good reason behind it, I mean,
get to that reason.
Yeah.
There's no set point. You can't put an age on it. Everybody develops differently.
Yeah, in a society, and I understand where you're coming from.
Everybody's different. You can't do that.
No, but I understand where you're coming from. But in a society, you can't just have this kind of free-for-all. That will never work. I mean, you got to go.
Yes,
yeah,
won't work. Being 18, making you an adult, really worked for us? I mean,
all
there's still different things
age.
Depending on the crime, you can be charged as an adult at, the age of 12, isn't it?
Yes.
So 18 means nothing. Age means nothing. Everybody matures differently.
You said it was relative earlier.
Let me go around here. You had some.
You said it was relative.
I think that the age at which you are held accountable is... Although, you know, we have the set 18 where you're a legal adult. My own legal definitions, anything that you do can be said and used against you. That's not, of course, you know, you mentally develop, you're mentally done by the age of 25 is when your brain stopped developing. And from that point on, your personality is fairly set. The personality doesn't have, I mean, although it does play a role in it, actions just happen. Life just happens. And throughout society, throughout the entire existence of, you know, humans, life has just happened. Things always happen and you can't control them. And so if for some reason you lose your job, say, okay, I work in fast food, which is, it doesn't suit me. I don't know how I've been there 5 months. I don't know. But I work in fast food. Recently, there has been a, I'll try to do this briefly, but recently there's been a, we have overall satisfaction scores. Our overall satisfaction scores are the lowest that they've been since the store is open. So, and the managers believe that it is somebody from inside the team that is sabotaging us. And it's just, it's the weirdest thing. Like, it's so much drama for fast food. But anyways, so,
really?
I don't know why I'm there. But there was my general manager, she's really cool. I'm trying not to disclose her names. I don't know at what point I'm going to get in trouble.
Well, make it brief.
So our general manager told us basically that the area managers are going to turn over the store if we don't get our overall satisfaction rates up in the next couple weeks. And in a way, the reason that they're so low is because the amount of stress that they put on you is inhumane. For $8 an hour, I could not tell you the things that I have done in a 7-hour period just to, you know, get my paycheck. And at any point, these people who are making more money than who are making more money than you and doing less work can tell you your life is your work here is meaningless. They can tell you, they can judge you based on what you do or what you have the inability to do, what your life worth up until that point is. And I think that's completely outrageous.
You raised some good. We need to come back and do another program.
I'm
going to go on around read you.
I wanted to tie back to Sona and society, and yeah, that's the really hard thing. There's never any good point, and society is like a good, and it's also a really bad thing. Mob mentality, people are like cattle, you know, like when, say, like, I don't know, let me come up with an example, like this short story called The Lottery, like one person gets picked to like be sacrificed or whatever, and so then everybody's against them, and they're like, oh, it's the luck of the draw. But for you, when you're being drawn, it's awful, but then but when you're part of the mob, it's like no big deal. But then when it comes to you, nothing, it's like this is a lot of people. It doesn't matter until it comes to you.
Right.
So it just, I don't even remember where I was going with this, but
That makes me think of a quote. We were just watching Martin Luther King. And like you were saying that, and it's, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
And the question, also to interrupt you, because we only got 5 minutes, and I want to have y'all respond to this. At what point is it acceptable, or maybe it never gets to that point, for you to defy society's rules, morals, whatever, if it's necessary? I'm going to go here, because I haven't heard from them, and I'll come back around.
Okay, well, one more time. Could you just
Well, I just said at what point, because is it acceptable for you to defy society's rules and standards? And I said that because there's Sona here brought up Martin Luther King. That's an excellent example of what I'm talking about.
Okay? I mentioned this today in our sociology class again, and it was, you know, say Martin Luther King never defied society. Stuff that he has accomplished would not be here today. It is always appropriate to question the masses. That is why I mentioned our country is democratic, because we are supposed to question it. We are, like, maybe not supposed to, but that it's like encouraged. You know, you're always supposed to ask questions. You're always supposed to feel, is this right? Are things we're doing now really okay? Should women be allowed to vote? Are women people? What is black people? Who knows? Who knows what this is? No, you're always supposed to, like, question things. Make it right for you. But like I said, you still can't, as long as it's not hurting anyone else, what you're doing is probably fine. Like, overall, you mentioned when is it okay to start, like, judging people for their actions or
holding them responsible.
Yeah, holding them responsible. And again, that's all relative by the person. I think it's appropriate to start holding people responsible when you yourself figure out what your morals are and can say that back to the person. Because maybe your morals...
I agree with you all, but the only problem I have with that...
standards.
We live in a society, and there is no way that they're going to be able... They're not... We got to be realistic. They're not going to tolerate 20,000 different perspectives of when you're ready to be held responsible. I mean, that's my only response to that.
Yeah.
But let's go back. We've got 2 minutes and we're running out of time. Did you have something you wanted to share, Emily?
I'll make mine quick. I see when the morals of how society sees your morals is... What I see is when you define what the rules and that society has laid out for you, I see you question it if it depends on your human rights, your own biological rights. If the morals define your rights as a human being, then I say that you can go against them. But if it's not, I would say go.
I'm going to move on around. I'm not going to pose any more things because we only have a few minutes.
Yeah, I think I think as long as you're not harming anybody physically – Like, I mean,
oh, but what about
emotions? Emotions, you can't do anything about that. No, like, I'm sure many people are offended by things I say all the time, but we have our own opinions and we need to talk about it. Everybody's different, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. But only when it comes to physical harm should that be called wrong. When you're harming somebody else, don't harm yourself and stuff, I mean, but if it's your belief and you're harming yourself through it, I mean, that's your choice. But, like, when you bring somebody else into this, it's like the whole thing, like, I'm on a diet, so you can't have that cookie, you know? It's like, you can't say that. Like, your beliefs, they have theirs, you can't tell them they're wrong. Like, no, only when you're harming someone else.
My favorite quote from Toni Morrison is, she was on a BBC special with Charlie Rose, mm-hmm. and she said the words, "If the only way that you can be tall is for someone else to be on their knees, then that is the problem. That is the problem in our society right now. People are tall because everyone is bowing down to them." And when your morals are based on a society that has these horrible, horrible already injustices within them, your morals are inherently not necessarily wrong per se, but you know.
Well, that's
they got it.
I appreciate it. I always say thank you all. I just love having you. Appreciate you coming to my listening audience. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. And 411 Teen salutes Sale High School. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.